But I'd like for us to refer to John chapter 1, because when we think about the baby in the manger, there's a person here that is from all eternity. And in John chapter 1, this is what we read. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. And Father, as we come to your word, we thank you for the presentation of the birth of the Lord Jesus done by the kids and the puppets. And we thank you for your gift to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Please open your word to our hearts just in these few minutes in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you notice when I read that, and perhaps you have Bibles open too, the word is being spoken of, and there is a pronoun, he. It's a person. The word is a person. And so the first task in this gospel, in this book in the Bible, is to settle the question of identity. So at the time of the beginning, at the very beginning, there was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. So with God at the beginning, with God in eternity, there was perfect community, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in perfect community and perfect communion. There was a fellowship even before the creation. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we read in this, in verse 3, through him all things were made. I had a Bible study years ago in the little town of Ledore, Idaho. And there was a lady there that had been a Bible student. And we were studying the book of Colossians. And Colossians comes up at about verse 15, 16, that the Lord Jesus is creator. And she said, you know, I've been studying the Bible all my life, and that never registered with me. God, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's true. In John, in Colossians, God the Son is creator. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. So we think back and we think about the answered prayers, and we think about praying to God and doing, having things done for us or through us. And who's at work in our lives? The Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Father, God is at work in our lives. But what was the purpose of the Word? And what I'd like to do is go jump ahead to verse 18 and we'll back up. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. To make God known, that is the purpose of the Word. To make God known, to reveal him, to declare him. Verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh so that we could observe what God is like. And verse 10 through 13, he came to reconcile mankind to God. He came that we might know the Lord, that we might be reconciled to God, because our sins have made a separation between us and God. He's hid his face from us so that he does not hear until we come. Reconciliation. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Now I'm going to shrink this message up and just focus on a couple words that Jesus used throughout his time on earth. The words, I am. There's seven times that Jesus spoke specifically using those words, I am. Yahweh, or Jehovah, used those words when Moses asked him, what shall I tell those who ask me, who sent you? And the Lord responded to him and said, tell them, I am, has sent you. So the Jews understood the power of that name. Jesus used it later on in this Gospel of John. And he was having an argument with the Jews. And they said, you are not 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? And Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, before Abraham was born, I am. That was the name for Yahweh. That was the name for Jehovah. And he took it, and at this they picked up stones to stone him. They got it. It was a powerful name. And Jesus applied that to himself before Abraham was. I am. Well, Jesus preached to the crowds and validated his message with miracles. And one of the miracles that he performed was feeding 5,000. The 5,000 men, and other gospel says there were women and children there also. But 5,000, and what did he use to feed those people? There were five little barley loaves and two small fish. And Jesus fed them. Now, if that was us in that crowd, we would think, we got to do something with this guy. I mean, we can't just let him hide in a corner or get away from us. And they decided they would try and make him king by force. That wasn't Jesus' plan. That wasn't the Father's plan for him at that time. But Jesus used that miracle to teach something. And in John chapter 6, they were talking about a bread that would come from heaven. You know, you gave us bread to eat. That was really cool. But Moses gave us bread from heaven. He gave us manna. And Jesus said, it wasn't Moses who fed you with that manna. It was my Father. And he's given you a bread that even though you eat it, the manna, you'll get hungry again. But the bread that I will give you, that the Father gives you, you won't hunger again. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. There's the I am. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. We live in earth where we get hungry and we get thirsty, but there's a soul hunger. There's a hunger of our spirit that we wonder what's happening to us, what's happening in our families, what's happening to friends. How can I deal with this? I'm in a spiritual trauma. I don't know how to deal with it. There's questions that come up. There's diagnoses that throw our world into a tailspin. Jesus said, he is the kind of bread that meets the needs. He is the kind of bread that will satisfy our souls. He said, he who comes to me will never go hungry. Well, Jesus used the miracle to point out who he was. He also showed us the Father in how to deal with people who have committed sin. Those who have committed crimes, those who have made a wreck of their lives, have done different things that are offensive to us, perhaps. God deals differently than we do. God loves people. And there was a lady that had committed adultery and brought to Jesus and said, what are you going to do with her? He had a couple options. He could go to the law, the Ten Commandments, and God's law for people. And he could have had her stoned. Oh, that'd be pretty brutal. He could have let her go and just say, go on, get out of here. Probably not quite that way, but not deal with the issue. But what he did was, I believe, the Bible tells us that he got down in the dirt and started writing. And this Word of God, the Son of God, was writing. And the Bible tells us that the Word of God is living and powerful. And it discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. What was Jesus writing? There's been a lot of speculation about that. But I think he was unloading on them who they really are. Okay, you brought this woman to me. I'm supposed to judge. You expect me to. But what about you guys? And this crowd of Jewish, religious bigots. And he starts writing the thoughts and intents of their hearts. And they start turning and leaving. And when he said to the woman, where are those that condemn you? She said, there isn't anybody. There's no one here. And he said, neither do I condemn you. And then he said, Jesus spoke again to the people. Like this had gathered a crowd, evidently. And he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. This is something that the nations of the world need, don't they? The light. Walk in the light rather than in the darkness. We plunge into darkness and we do things that are harmful and brutal. There's a war and wars going on because there is no light. But Jesus is the light of the world. He reveals our hearts. But he also has a remedy. Well, the Pharisees that followed Jesus were critical and condemning. It seems like wherever he went, there were very few times that Jesus could teach and not have the Pharisees looking over his shoulder and being critical and judgmental. That's the way they were with people, critical and condemning. But Jesus offered peace and comfort and salvation. John records for us what Jesus said that gives comfort. He says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. I am the gate. And fear is gone when we come to the Lord Jesus as the gate. My son and I, youngest son, and I were in Chicago. I was there for his naval graduation. And we went into Chicago proper from Waukegan and took the train in. And we had a good time in Chicago. And we got a taxi ride back to the train station. I don't know how many trains are there, but there's lots of trains in Chicago at the depot at this train station. And he looked at me and I looked at him and we asked each other, which one did we come in on? Well, we could have reasoned. We could get on any train and eventually it will take us to Waukegan. Would that be right? No. This line goes here, this line goes that way, this line goes that way. It was the blue line. Whew. And we got back safely. There are people who are telling us, telling everybody, as many as will hear, any road you take will lead to safety, soul safety, spirit safety, because any road will go to heaven. They all end up at, doesn't work here. How do you know how to get to heaven? How do you get to know get into that place of safety. For the sheep, the sheepfold, the sheep pen is a place of safety. And Jesus said, I'm the gate. If you want to get to the right destination, you have to go through the gate. I'm the gate. And he also said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. We know that when we misbehave, whether as adults or as kids, there was consequences, there was discipline. And we know that if we misbehave, eventually those deeds are going to catch up with us. When we think of spiritual things, the Bible says that we've all sinned, we've all offended God, we've all broken his law. But the wages of sin is death. Death is required. What did Jesus say? I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, to die in the place of the sheep, to die as our substitute. Jesus, as the good shepherd, gave his life for us. And so we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, the baby in the manger grew to be the I am. I am the gate. You must enter through him. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. In Psalm chapter 62 and verse 8, the Bible tells us, trust in him at all times. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. We can come to the Lord Jesus in faith. We believe that what he said he would do, he accomplished it. Because Jesus also spoke of life beyond the grave. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe that? That Jesus, who died for us, was buried, but then he rose again, and he conquered death. And he said he is able to be the gate to receive us, to be the good shepherd to usher us, and he promises that he is the resurrection and the life. He's the one that's able to accomplish what we call life after death. That he can do that. The place of no death is heaven. I say sometimes that we live here on earth, but we live in the land of the dying. We will, when we pass from this life, go to be with the Lord Jesus in the land of the living. It's the place that Jesus prepares for us. But how do we get there? What's the avenue we take to escape death? Jesus said another, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's an invitation there to come to the one who has conquered death, who's ascended to heaven. He knows the way. And we can trust him. The one who took our sin and paid the penalty and took it out of the way. That we aren't responsible for that any longer when we trust the Lord Jesus. At Christmas, we celebrate the coming of God's Son, who was born in a stable. We celebrate because he grew to take away the sins that we commit. But how can we know that we have the right kind of faith, that we truly believe in him? Jesus had another I am statement, because our believing is confirmed by our living. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. God living in us through his Son by his Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ lives in us, and we abide, we remain in him. He produces the purposeful life. We bear fruit for his purposes, for his glory. Our dependence on Jesus is for our salvation. We depend on him for our purposeful life. And we depend on him for our spiritual resources. And that proves to us that we really belong to him. Do you know Jesus as the Son of God who died on the cross for your sins? He paid the penalty, took the guilt, so that you and I could be delivered. But we receive him by faith. Let's pray. Father, we would respond to the Lord Jesus, not just thinking of him as a baby in the manger, but as a Savior, as a shepherd. We thank you that we can know you because Jesus brought to life before the eyes of those that saw him, God the Father. Thank you that you abide in us by your Spirit. You give us life. You've given us hope. You've even given us faith. And we can know our destination, our eternal destination, because we enter the gate. Thank you for everyone who's here, and may your Spirit continue to speak to us as we have time for fellowship this afternoon. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, when we leave this building,